Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Pedagogy Matters podcast. The purpose of the podcast is to bring to the fore some key topics of conversation in relation to learning and teaching, to discuss and break down aspects of practice and provide snippets, advice and guidance as to how to integrate these into our daily practice. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Hazel Brady, Director for Business, Creative and Enterprise at West Lothian College. And we'll be talking around West Lothian's approaches to professional development. So Hazel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Johnny. I'm great. Thank you.
And I think the first test, did I get your job role correct? Is that the right title?
Yes, you did. That's absolutely correct.
Because I know roles often evolve and sometimes things get added on or things grow. But no, well, that's a good start. So anyway, what we're here to talk about today really is some of your approaches to professional development, which I know are kind of really quite, I'm going to say, unique or quite innovative. So I think the best place to start is there. So I guess if you don't mind kicking us off and kind of telling us about what the college is doing, a bit about the journey, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I can talk. I'm Director for Faculty of Business, Creative and Enterprise, but I've been given the pleasure of leading some cross-college projects since I took on the role back in August 2020. So the starting point really was the people strategy. So at the college we have a people strategy, and really that's a good starting point because we have a heading which is learning and development culture, and this is where all staff have the opportunity to further their learning and development, to which the college invests significantly. And the college offer a range of development opportunities which is underpinned by a commitment on time and financial terms for these to be undertaken. So we feel as a college that by equipping staff with the necessary skills, then we would ensure excellent student experience and attainment. And some recent examples would include we developed an enhanced induction for new lecturers, which is separate from our mandatory training for all new staff. We also link this to the professional standards. We introduced learning champions, which we'll talk about today. And we also introduced West Lothian Wednesdays. So the rationale really was about support. We wanted to do this in a supportive way, and we've learned a lot. We've advanced a lot and learned so much from when we went into lockdown in March 2020, that it was key to ensure that staff were developed in a really supportive way. So we also tie in the rationale that we made these changes into our own college values, which we have welcoming to all, students at the centre of everything that we do, and always striving for better. And also we tied this into the professional standards.
Wow.
So
where to start? No, I think it's fantastic from the outset. And yeah, there's lots of, I'm going to say, key words and phrases there, which you would hope to be at the forefront of practice. And I guess my cynical view sometimes of kind of my own lived experience of working in different colleges, sometimes those words are there, but kind of may not be lived and breathed. But I think it'd be useful to start really maybe at the end and work backwards as to how we got there. So I know you touched upon West Lothian Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe, should we start there and kind of look at kind of what is that, or kind of what does that mean? Was it looking at practice? And we'll, let's have a chat about that.
Yeah, so we've talked about this a lot. We talked a lot about where we could carve out some time for staff to be able to come together and do professional learning. And when you talk about things, it's difficult sometimes to get it into action. And I think because of what happened in March 2020, where we were using platforms and, you know, we were using Microsoft Teams, so we already had a great way of bringing staff together. But what we did is we carved out a Wednesday as the time to be allocated for professional development. So that meant that nobody was to be timetabled on a Wednesday where possible. And that was a significant chunk of our activity that we made sure that students were not timetabled, which allowed staff to be free during that time. So we made it a slot on a Wednesday to offer training. In 21, 22, we were doing it every Wednesday. Yeah. And it could range from 30 minutes to 60 minutes. And now what we've done based on staff feedback is we now do it every three Wednesdays. So every third week we do the training. It's still mandatory. And what we do is we have a mix of external agencies, and we also have some staff that come and do different training sessions on that Wednesday too. So it's peer-to-peer support that we offer, and the training is, you know, certainly based on staff feedback, it was really important that we heard their voice about how regular we had them, how long they could be, and then what the content was. So that's really what Wesleyan Wednesdays are about.
No, that's great. I'm going to ask a really specific question. Typically, what time on a Wednesday does this take place? I know that people, we think, look at timetables, well, how do we make it fit? So typically, kind of when on a Wednesday, or has that taken place, or has that evolved? Is it the same time?
So we now have them from 4 p.m. till 4:30. That's the 30 minutes is protected. And what we do is there are sometimes we need a bit longer. And what we do is we try and plan the sessions across the whole year. Yeah. And by doing that, then we can try and offer students alternatives, and we can do that better now again, since, you know, we've learned so much about a blended approach to learning and teaching. So we can say, so in a good example was we had the Little Iceberg here just before our October break, and we needed a bigger chunk of time. 30 minutes wasn't going to be enough, and we offered a workshop to staff during that period, so we needed to sort of protect a little bit more than 30 minutes. But the general plan for the year is to do 30 minutes every 3 weeks.
Oh, that's really interesting. And you kind of touched upon that was shaped by staff. So you mentioned in previous years or last year that was every week. So the idea was that kind of too much of a burden on staff in terms of, not a burden, maybe the wrong phrase, was it kind of too much of a commitment sometimes in terms of it impinging on the student experience? Or kind of what were the thoughts or rationales for changing maybe from the every week to every other week or every third week?
So there was two reasons. We were driving forward a sustainability drive, which meant that we were only going to open the campus in the evening on a Tuesday and a Thursday. So we used to open Monday to Thursday, six till nine. We really changed our timetables, you know, quite drastically from the year before when they were available every Wednesday. So that's when it became a bit more of a challenge. How do we free up a full afternoon, and we've already cut down to evening? So that was part of the reason. But it was about staff feedback. We asked them, you know, what days, what times, how frequent, and we took the staff feedback to ensure that we were offering training that was relevant to them, and that everybody had a say in that as well about the content, what sort of things that we should be offering.
No, I think that's really interesting, and I'm going to say probably one of the most difficult questions to answer. What's been the impact of this, of kind of this protected time? I know you used the word protected before. What's been the impact of that protected time on staff or on student experience that you can try and put your fingers on? Because it's quite hard to get some tangibles in this case.
I think the biggest thing for us is about the student experience, you know, so we get the student voice through a various, you know, various ways, and through, we have Sparkle, we do, you know, student feedback, the students come to our course team meetings. So it's student feedback that's really important for us to make sure that it's having an impact. PIs is not always the best indication, but we are seeing improvement there as well. But I suppose the biggest thing is about the support that we have for staff, for each other, you know, because it can be quite a lonely job, especially if you're a new lecturer, you're brand new to this, it can be really lonely. So we really wanted to think about how could we do this supportively. So, you know, Wesleyan Wednesdays is just a part of that. There's a whole load of changes that we've made to ensure that we support each other. Because we need to be able to collaborate, we need to learn from each other, and also it's the peer-to-peer support that we give during these sessions, because that's much more impactful, you know, than sending somebody off on a course where they've got to sit online for half an hour and do something. It's actually allows people to have conversation, ask questions, you know, so go back and watch them. We record the lessons so we can go back and watch them. If you're not sure, you can go back and watch it again. So there's a whole load of things that we can see in terms of the impact. It's a really positive way to approach learning and development for staff.
No, I think that's fascinating, and I totally agree with you. And yeah, I'm keen just to explore that a little bit more in terms of that peer-to-peer support. So I guess, again, other questions people may have is, well, what sort of sessions are offered to staff, or what sort of things happen within this time? So are you able to kind of share any more different examples of some of the things that may have happened within the West Lothian Wednesdays?
Yeah, I mean, there's been lots of, as I'd mentioned earlier, we have, you know, external agencies that come, so that's really important. That's the real sort of training part. So we've had, you know, Smile Counselling, we've had Education Scotland, we've had GTCS, so it's really helping prepare us and as a college for GTCS registration. So there's been a whole load of things that have come externally, but internally, you know, we do a lot of sessions about quality, so quality improvement. professional standards, our values, our college values and behaviours. There's a number of sessions that go on during that period, but I think less than Wednesdays is very much a focused half an hour that we try and carve out across the year that is suitable for all staff, for all delivery staff. And that's just one bit of it. But we're really proud because we've been successful in carving out that time and also getting the commitment from staff to attend, because, you know, it's very easy to say, oh, we'll put them on, but then if nobody comes, what's the point? So we have, you know, hundreds of staff that are coming every week, every 3 weeks to these sessions. And so there's commitment on both sides to improve learning and development and professional training, which ties in really nicely with GTCS and the professional update. So, and that's a little bit of it, I suppose. Expanding on that is the Learning Champions, which we'll probably talk about today as well. That's really key in terms of the peer-to-peer support that's given.
Absolutely. I think you've kind of stole my fun and stole my script. Yes, so Learning Champions is exactly where I was going to go next in terms of support. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, often initiatives like this are quite difficult to put in place and to have an impact. And it's, again, my cynical hat on from myself being in a college in the past is, it's one thing seeing as a load of training. It's another thing then contextualize that into your own world and reflecting and so on and so forth. And I agree that kind of support there is kind of really fundamental. So you've touched upon Learning Champions. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of what they are, what they look like and what their roles are?
Yeah, so the Learning Champions, we did a lot of work during COVID and we created a team which was specifically for digital upskilling. That was a learning continuity support team. And that was really, really specific to the digital upskilling of staff, especially during that crucial time. But what that group did is they were tasked with also coming up with recommendations. And they came up with a number of recommendations, and one of those recommendations were Learning Champions, because there was a gap there to really support particularly new staff about, you know, when you come in to a college, you've never taught before, how do you pull things together? So Learning Champions were brought about to really improve pedagogical approaches, but it's become more than new staff, it's for all staff. You know, it's all staff. So Learning Champions are, the focus is really at the early stages of an academic year on our new staff and helping them to, you know, how do you prepare a lesson? How do you plan for 12 weeks? What are your challenges if you've got, you know, behavioural challenges? It's everything that can be a little bit of quality in there. Where does quality work? How does that tie in? But it's really about supporting staff with their approaches to learning, teaching and assessment. And then they're great because they can then direct them to the other resources which are quite new to us, for example, learning technologists. They can really start to enhance their learning, teaching and assessment. But what we've also done is we have stopped the lesson observations in their traditional sense, and we've created professional discussion. So all staff now, they don't all have a, you know, somebody comes into their class and does the traditional observation. What we do now is we get all staff to record something from a lesson. They then upload that lesson. They do their own professional sort of reflection. And then we sample a third across the year. So it's not everybody, but everybody has to still do the actual, you know, do their own recording, do their professional reflection, get their student feedback, and then they'll be sampled. And it's the Learning Champions that do the sample. It's not a manager, it's done by the Learning Champions. So that's the peer-to-peer support, which is so important because they are in the classes themselves. The Learning Champions have been given some remitted time, but they are remitted lecturer posts. And so they're there every day. They're having the challenges with students. They understand, you know, the challenges with, you know, attainment, retention, all of these things. And then how do you make your lessons engaging? How do you still keep up with technology to maybe enhance that? How do you reduce assessment burden? There's a whole load of things that come with that. So the Learning Champions are really busy, a really busy role. It's such a brilliant role to have in our college, and that peer-to-peer support is definitely welcomed by staff, particularly new staff.
No, that all sounds great, Hazen, and I would totally agree. And the Learning Champions, how long have they been as part of your structure for? Is that just a recent thing in the kind of last couple of months? Is that maybe year past? How long have you had those roles as part of your
So we've had them just for this is us going into the second year of having them. So this is and what we've done is we've given them a remit, so we've been really clear about what is their role, because if you can imagine, there's a learning champion comes in, they could be asked to do 100 things. But we've been really clear about what their remit, and it's really about pedagogical approaches and helping staff to, you know, gain confidence and being creative and innovative and to try things out as well. And that's where the professional discussion works really well, because we're really encouraging staff not to always send in their best, sometimes send in the challenges.
Yeah.
And when you're working with your peers, those conversations are easier to have, because you're not feeling that it's part of, you know, your professional learning discussion that happens every year. It's not the learning and skills managers that are doing this, it's your peers, and it's a great opportunity to get staff out of their departments. So our learning champions are a range across all of the faculties. So we've got some great examples of one of the business lecturers had gone over to engineering. We've got another lecturer from business who's gone out into the forest classroom. When would they ever have had that opportunity? And now what they do is they bring it back to their own practice, and they think, I could do something outdoor learning. So, you know, they're learning from each other. So it's a really great model to have. We're very lucky to have it in the college, and it is very new, but we'd like more learning champions if that was possible.
No, I would totally agree. And I've been fortunate in a previous role where I introduced, it was a large college, but I think there was 7 FTE of teaching and learning coaches for exactly that reason. So they were peers, they were colleagues who were strong and confident in learning and teaching. Uh-huh. And their role was exactly as you've said, is they had currency, because they were uh-huh. still practicing lecturers, and they could go out there and support their peers. And for me, the key bit is, when observing or when kind of engaging with peers across the college, you pick up so much information, and it's really important to try and share that across the board, as you just alluded to there. Uh-huh. These individuals have got that real opportunity to do that, but from a critical friend, a supportive perspective, and it's really important. And whilst we want and maybe expect our managers to be able to do that, sometimes it's that different relationship. So I think it's an absolutely vital role to try and help break down any myths or dispel any kind of negatives around teaching practice. Sorry, carry on.
All I was going to say was the learning champions are, you know, they apply for this. They don't go and headhunt anybody. They have to go through an application process, and part of that process is, you know, what could you bring to the table as a learning champion? What innovative practices have you got that you could share? And so that's an application process. We remove their names, so it's, you know, it's really done on the basis of the questions that are asked in that application. So our learning champions are, you know, they're all on board based on the great practice that they're already doing. So as you mentioned about, you know, really strong, really confident in their learning and teaching, and they're really keen to impart their knowledge with others. But the professional discussions was quite new. We introduced that quite late last year. So this is our first year of doing it as a, you know, across the full academic year. Because we were trying to think about how do we do it differently, because we had such a lot of classes, you know, some were on site, some were not. So how do we do the traditional observation? And so we made a significant change to that. Education Scotland were happy with that change. And staff are really engaging in that process as well.
No, well, that all sounds fantastic. And I know other colleges have similar roles in place, whether they be named mentors or different titles. But going back to those roles, I think it's really important as well that, from my experience again, I'm going to say a significant proportion of individuals in those roles, that helps make them more rounded and helps uh-huh. them progress the next stage of their career if that's what they wish to do so, or uh-huh. they take that back into their lecture. So I think it's kind of a win-win for all, because it's more people to talk about learning and teaching, and that can improve learning and teaching, because everybody wants to, but there are a lot of mm-hmm. things at times that detract from managers' ability to be able to do that because of processes and so on and so forth. So I think that's really important. But no, that's fascinating. And I think really what I'm keen to unpick now is kind of come towards the end of the podcast, is you've done a lot of the hard work, you've done a lot of the legwork already. What advice do you have for other colleges that may be looking to introduce a similar model, whether that be learning champions or whether that be the protected time? What are your mm-hmm. thoughts or ideas? Or if you can kind of share some of the bits that you've learned, that'd be great.
I've learned lots and lots. I think the biggest thing is you need to really think about, you know, who's at the top of the tree, and it's really important that you get their buy-in. And we've been really lucky at West Lothian College. Our executive leadership team have been so supportive of, you know, ideas, suggestions that we've made, really passionate about learning and teaching, really understand everything that comes with that and how challenging it can be, you know, for new lecturers, but also for lecturers that are experienced. They hit challenges. So the biggest thing for me is about getting the buy-in, and don't be frightened to share those changes. They might, you know, you can share them, and people might say that doesn't sound right. Keep going, keep talking about it, you know, get groups of people as well that work together. So the learning continuity support team, bring a group together that's cross college, be confident to do that. So we have, you know, in the learning continuity support team, we have somebody from digital infrastructure, quality, and the key thing in there is we did ask for the learning development officer from HR to be part of that as well. So there's a real crossover, and then that crosses over to everything. So learning champions feed into learning continuity. Everything's all threading through really nicely. But the biggest thing is the buy-in. And Sarah Jane Linton's our, you know, our VP here is, you know, she is the VP for learning attainment, and it's Sarah Jane that's driven forward the success of the West Lothian Wednesdays. And, you know, she's really listened to what we need, and really helped to find a way to carve that out, because to change a timetable significantly like that needs great leadership. So I think for us, it's definitely from the top, and it's a cross-college approach. It's involving cross-college people, that, you know, and then back down to learning champions, it's bringing in other staff who are confident in learning and teaching, and really, really keen to share their practice. And, you know, we can't do this job on our own. We can't do it in silos. We have to keep collaborating with each other. And so I suppose for me, you know, even next steps is we need to look at how we can do this with other colleges, because we're doing it really well in our college across the faculties. How can we do it across colleges? That would be really impactful to be able to start doing more of that. But yeah, go to the top, speak to them, share your ideas, get their buy-in, have really robust presentations, you know, when you take the ideas to the teams. And but yeah, it's definitely from the top. We've had great support with all of this.
No, great, thanks, Hayes. I'm keen just to unpick there in terms of the wider workforce, you know, so lecturers who may have been used to working in a certain way, or maybe didn't want to change their timetables. How did you get their buy-in, or kind of how did you, not convince, but yeah, kind of what steps were taken, or how did that journey look to try and get that kind of wider engagement?
It wasn't easy. It never is when you're, you know, not everybody adapts to change really well. So it wasn't easy, but it's, you know, again, it's back to the top. It's the leadership, and then it's the leadership that filters down, and it's trying to get the buy-in, because it's a good thing. And, you know, it's not for the sake of it. It's really to help people understand why we're doing it, and so that they can see the vision and the bigger picture and understand where it's all fitting in. So I think we've done a lot of work as a college on our values and behaviours, and those values that I mentioned at the beginning, it's, you know, reminding staff of our values, and especially where we put students at the centre, and then tying into our professional standards. I think for everybody it can be difficult to change, but we've had staff at West Lothian College have really made this change. And there's been a few things of not pushback, I don't think that's the right word, of questions and why, and but it's having the answers, and then it's back to that vision. It's really sharing the vision, and the learning skills managers who work really closely with the directors, they're really close to the teaching team. So it's helping them lead their meetings at team meetings, and taking their team through this change. But yeah, so be prepared for some pushback, but if you have an idea, go for it. Try it. And we've tried it, and in the first year we were, you know, we did it, and we've changed it even already in the second year, but we've still carved out that protected time to ensure that we can find a place for staff to come together. And I'd asked actually Sarah Jane, she has, you know, really, really helped support us to take this forward. And I asked her for a quote, because I said to her I was doing this podcast today, but, you know, she had said about, you know, developing a great respect and understanding for each other as staff pass on breadth of knowledge and support to students where everybody wins. I mean, that says it all, really.
Yeah, no, I think that's, Yeah, that does say it all. And I think that's come through in every conversation you've had, is actually it's not a standalone process put in place. It's not a new idea. It's part of the wider picture and the wider ethos around putting the students at the heart of everything that you do. And as we all know, effective teaching practice underpins large parts of that, and it's part of that wider college ethos. No, so I think it's fantastic. And yeah, I totally agree with you. Again, from my own experience, it's not an easy journey because everyone has their own perspective as to how they want to learn, or some people don't want change and so on and so forth. And again, I'd also echo the point, as one of the key points is it's about, there's two really. One is communicating that clearly to the whole workforce, so everyone understands what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And secondly, equally as importantly, it's getting the right people as those learning champions that understand learning and teaching, and can then translate that across to the wider masses in many different ways. So no, I think that's fantastic. I think it's really interesting. And I'm going to say the final bit I'm going to touch upon is, I'm sure you're aware, but some of our listeners may not be, is that at CDM we're engaging some action research on professional learning to try and look at how professional learning is being delivered across the college sector, exactly for that reason, as you've touched upon, to try and encourage, enable, allow for greater collaboration across colleges. Because, again, in a really simplistic term in my head, if then we discover that five colleges have a same model, well, actually, it might be that those five colleges may say, well, why don't we all try and get a similar time? Because then that might allow for some cross-pollination twice a year or so. Doesn't have to be, but if strategy is already in place, then it may allow for that. You know, so, but also the purpose of that is to allow other colleges to understand different models in place and think, oh, actually, that sounds great. Let's learn a bit more. How can we implement something like that to work for our workforce? So I think that's really interesting. And yeah, there's a lot to unpick then. And we've been talking for nearly half an hour, and time's flown by. I'm going to talk for another half an hour, another hour about all of those things. But we're conscious of keeping this podcast relatively short. So before we come to a close, Hazel, is there anything else from you, either one final thing for people to consider, or a kind of final bit of learning from you that you kind of think would be useful to share?
For me, collaboration is really important, and we don't do it enough within our own colleges. So if we can do more of that, and you know, we're doing this much, we're starting to really increase the amount of collaboration across the faculties, across staff, bringing different groups of people together to lead on projects. The pace of which we've done that has been really fast and really successful. So I think if all colleges could do more of that and are confident enough to do that, then we might even improve the cross-collaborative approach across our colleges. We need to bring our teams out of their departments first, and we've certainly made a huge step forward with that. And if we can do that across the colleges, I think it would really give us a collaborative approach to do so much more together.
I think that's a really good final point, even though I kind of made you think that. I think it's absolutely fantastic, absolutely spot on. And I guess the final point from me, I'm going to reflect on a former colleague of mine. Whenever something new was introduced, he said, well, what do we not do? And again, I would urge any listeners to think, actually, what do you do that actually you don't need to do that could free up or protect time for conversations like this, or issues like this to take place within your college to aid that collaboration that you've just mentioned there? So Hazel, thank you very much. If anyone wants to kind of find out more, feel free to get in touch with Hazel and colleagues at West Lothian. But Hazel, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.